we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
All right, Hebrews 6, 13. Let's see what we can do very quickly. In this first service. Hallelujah. My confidence is in the covenant, part 2. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. People should read Philippians first. Philippians 3, 3. First, before we go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 6, 13. Let's read Philippians 3. Okay, Philippians 3, verse 3. We can put KJV. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. Am I talking to the right people? We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, are you in glory zone? Am I talking to glory zone? We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. Am I talking to people who have lost confidence in the flesh, who boast only in Christ and all he has done? Oh, hallelujah. Give me a more contemporary translation. I have TPT. Let me read TPT for you. We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. This should get you excited. Hallelujah. Merovamakinekosemilakatanaya. He said, for we have already experienced heart circumcision. We worship God in the power and in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. Hallelujah. You see, if you don't understand this verse, you have not understood the gospel. Are you with me? It's amazing how many Christians have lived for years and their eyes never fell on Philippians 3:3. It's amazing. It's amazing. And what it is sad, actually. Not really amazing. How could a person be a Christian and has never seen this? We are the circumcision that worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. The right rendering says we boast in what Christ has done for us. That means every day, every step you take, it must be a response to your confidence in what Christ has done. Are you with me? Every vision that you have, every dream, every aspiration, and every bold step that you take, it cannot be based on the ability of your mind. It cannot be based on your confidence in your human strength. It cannot be based on your confidence in human promises, in natural advantages. No, Satan will whip you in that arena. Every step you take must be based on this knowing, on this understanding of what Christ has done. He says we boast in what Christ has done. And we have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Let me interpret it the other way around so that I can understand. That means whatever disadvantage you have in the flesh is not the disadvantage. Because in the first place, your eyes are not there. Oh, you didn't get that. That means if God tells you to do something, or you caught a vision from the Spirit to get something done, you are not going to look into your bank account to get it done. Oh, are you with me? You are not going to look into your background to check what supports it in your background to get it done. No. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. That means where you're coming from doesn't intimidate you anymore. Because it doesn't count. Who am I talking? What your mama had, your papa had, what your mama didn't have, your papa didn't have, won't threaten you anymore. Because it doesn't count. You have no confidence in the flesh. The class of degree you had from school, all the limitations that human system have put in place doesn't count anymore because you have no confidence in the flesh. When you look at the visions in your heart, your eyes are upon what Christ has done. That's what you see. You are not going to calculate what is left in the account. You are not going to calculate who is supporting me. You are not going to calculate, well, who gave me a promise? No. You start comparing spiritual things to spiritual. What has he said? What has he done? Paul, you know, Paul, thinking about that, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amplified says, through Christ who infuses in me inner strength, who energizes me, who strengthens me. Look at the focus of Paul. See where his eyes were. He was the one who wrote this. We are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. You see, I love the tenses of the New Testament. In case you're in doubt, when you read it, your doubts are cleared. Jesus in John 4 says, oh, for God is looking for true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. Maybe there's a Christian who is praying, oh Lord, make me a true worshiper. Oh Lord, make me a true worshiper. Well. When you begin to read the Bible and you grow in the revelation of your position and who you are, your prayer will change. But when you read Philippians 3:3, it will be different. Look at what he says. He said, we are not going to be. We are. Oh, is somebody here? Oh, we are. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. That means those worshipers that God is seeking. We are the worshipers that is seeking. The day you got born again, you passed into the class of those worshipers. Are you with me? So you are not crying afresh, oh Lord, make me a true worshiper. No. He says we are the circumcision. This is what the word of God does. It's a mirror. When you look at it, you see who you are. You begin to see who you are. And like a man dressing himself up in a mirror, you look into God's word and then you begin to dress up for divinity. You begin to dress up for victory. You begin to dress up for dominion. You begin to dress up for success and excellence. It reveals to you who you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. This is the confidence in the covenant we're talking about. He says we boast in Jesus. We boast in what Christ has done. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Meaning our confidence is in what Christ has done. Oh, glory to God forevermore. You can put up Hebrews 6:13 now. Hebrews 6:13. Hello, vrapakti nekosai. You know, the anointing of God's spirit is strong upon me. It is strong. So strong, really. Are you there? All right. He said, for when God made a promise, let's read from verse 12. So we can have a little context. Even though sometimes if you are looking for context, you may go to the chapter before. Hallelujah. All right, but let's go from verse 12. It says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, we're talking about confidence in the covenant. But when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Remarkable. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He said, for men verily swear by the greater. And an oath, we'll just read you, we'll do the explanations as I teach. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, who are the heirs of the promise? We are. To show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That means God also swore. When people are arguing, they're going to swear by someone greater so that they can stop arguing. Amen. When people want to go into a covenant, they'll go and swear by someone greater, usually in the midst of blood. The Bible says, God also willing more abundantly to show to you and I the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He confirmed it by an oath. He swore also. Hallelujah. For by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. What are the two immutable things? His word of promise and the oath of confirmation. Are we together? That God gave his word is enough. But to assure your hearts that he is committed to his promise, he swore in blood. Hallelujah. That means we should be doubly sure. Amen. If all we had was just God saying something, that was enough. Because there's something about the integrity of His word. There's something about the integrity of God. And how you know a person of integrity is expressed through their words. So God by Himself, by His word, is enough. When He gives a promise, He says, God is not the man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent or change His mind. Has He not said it? Will He not do it? Has He spoken it? Will He not make it good? This is the character of God's word. But listen, God wanted you to be sure beyond every iota of doubt. He still added to the promise, adding to the integrity of His word He saw. Are you with me? This is what we call the covenant. His word. That blood sworn oath that God will keep His promise is the covenant. And God fulfilled every of the promise He made. In that He raised Jesus from the dead. Let's get into today's work. Is somebody with me? Are you with me? All right. So we started talking about understanding the concept of the new covenant and the gospel being the source of true faith. Amen. We laid that foundation last week. We said that, look, faith comes by the word. But the word there should not be used generically. The word there is talking about the gospel that is being preached. The word there is the revelation of this covenant. That is the word there. That is the word that produces faith. That means you cannot just carry any part of the Bible and preach it and elicit faith in the heart of the people. It has to be the scriptures. You have to make sense, rather, out of the scriptures for faith to be birthed. Hallelujah. And I confirm that to you from Romans 10. When you read Romans 10, 17, it says, now faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. But see, when you're studying the Bible, you have to understand the context in which words are presented, in which sentences are made. It's part of the rules in biblical interpretation. Amen. Have it together. In that context, he was talking about the gospel. For verse 16 tells us the context of the word. He says, they have not all believed the gospel. You can put up verse 16. He said, for they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah has prophesied, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So he's saying that the report that Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 53 is the gospel. Glory to God. That report is the gospel. That means the gospel is the vicarious death of Christ. What He obtained for us in His death, in His burial, in His victory over Satan in hell, and in His resurrection. Have it together. That is the gospel. That is what Paul is saying here. Glory to God. And he said, it is the preaching of this report that produces faith. Nothing else. You can learn many things from the Bible. You can learn management principles from the Bible, but it will not produce the God kind of faith. You can learn scientific formulas from the Bible. Einstein says he got from Genesis 1:15 or so, the E equals to MC square. That's where he got it from. But see, it doesn't mean he produced the saving faith. Are you with me? Even Mahatma Gandhi got the principle of non-violent protest from the life of Jesus. He said, well, he loves the Jesus of the Christians, but he doesn't like the Christians of the Jesus. Something like that. Amen. But you see, that he got the part and got whatever he wanted to get from it did not produce the God kind of faith. The first thing that a God kind of faith will produce is salvation. If I let me put this way, the first thing it produces is the revelation of what Christ came to do. And once that is seen and faith is expressed in that, what follows is the salvation of a man's soul. And everything that follows salvation. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So we say the concept of the covenant is not about having an agreement with God. When we talk about the new covenant, okay, don't see it as, okay, I'm in a covenant with God. Now, we have to explain this because over the years, when words are used, people interpret those words from their backgrounds. People interpret those words from their construct. So we have to go into the Bible. Yes, they interpret it from their culture. We have to go into the Bible to really understand what biblical words are trying to say. So in this discourse of covenant, what we are saying is this. We are not saying that the new covenant is about God entering into a new agreement, okay, with man and saying, well, I'll keep my part. If you keep your part, you enjoy the blessing. There's nothing like that. That is not the idea of the teaching of the covenant. Rather, this is what you must think, that the concept of the covenant is about is not about having some kind of agreement with God. Let me just read that for you. It's more about the Lord finding a legal route to bring man back to the commonwealth of Zion. In the Garden of Eden, man lost the presence. He lost his relationship with God. He lost his civilization. And right from Genesis 3, it was God who was after man to restore him. It wasn't man trying to look for God. Every of man's attempt to look for God had produced religion. But God had his wisdom, had his plan to restore man back to the commonwealth of Israel. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. We see it in his interaction with men across ages. We saw how he entered into Abraham's context in Genesis 15. He just came into his cultural context. In those days, they made blood covenant. Everything God did. Now, God gave a word to Abraham. I believe I explained that last week. God gave a word of promise to Abraham. Abraham still did not believe. God said, okay, come out of your tent. Look to the heaven. Tell the story of the stars. And I explained to you what that meant. It doesn't mean he was counting the stars. The Hebrew word means to recount, to tell a story. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't forget that Abraham lived in all the Chaldees. That means he lived in a dispensation of astrologers, men that could read things from the heavens. Are we together? They could read things by looking at the constellations. God alludes to what I'm saying. He said, can you tell Pleiades and her children? Do you understand? He talks about Orion, Pleiades and her children, Pleiades and all that. Amen. Maseroth. You read that in the book of Job, right? It was talking about, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to set dominion on the earth? So God was telling him that, look, when you look into the constellation, there are information you don't understand. Amen. Now, men in those dispensations attempted to read the stars. That was what God used to paint the picture of Jesus to Abraham. Remember, in Hebrews 1, the Bible says, God in time past, in diverse manner, spoke unto our fathers. That means in every dispensation, he used their cultural context to speak to them. Are you with me? Even when Jesus came, he used their cultural context to speak to them. Read the parables. He wasn't using tech languages. Amen. There was no downloading then. He would have used it. There was no uploading then. He would have used it. Are you with me? There was no rebranding. He would have used it. Amen. Okay. There was no reposting. He would have used it. But there were farmers. There were fishermen. He used the language they could understand. So God came into Abraham's civilization and gave him a word of promise. He didn't believe him. He said, look up. This is how your seed will be. And the Bible says Abraham believed God in respect to having a child. When God told him, you're going to inherit the whole world, he says, Lord, how shall I know of a surety that I will inherit it? And God said, look. Now, this is what Hebrew, you need to pay attention. This is what Hebrew is trying to explain. That an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, an end of all argument. Abraham and God were going back and forth. God said, I'll give you a son. He said, I don't believe it. He said, look to the heavens. Can you tell the story of the stars? He said, okay, now I believe. He said, I'll give you the whole world. He said, I don't believe. How am I going to know that I will inherit it? Okay, let's end this argument. Blood covenant. Are you getting it now? This is what Hebrew was saying. That an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So men will swear by the greater. So God willing also to show to Abraham and his seed the immutability of his promise. Confirmed it. He wanted to show to Abraham and his seed the unchangeableness, the translation puts it that way, of his promise. He swore an oath. And he says, for by these two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie, so that we can have this hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That means this is what your soul should be anchored to. I read it to you, Philippians 3:3. We boast in what Christ has done. We have no confidence in the flesh. When the doctor gives you a diagnosis, what is your soul anchored to? These two immutable things. When you look at the economy of the country where you live, when you look at your vision and you look at your background, you look at your academic qualification, and it's as though it doesn't support it, what is the anchor for your soul? What is the anchor for your soul? These two immutable things by which it's impossible for God to lie. He gave a word of promise. That is enough. But he covered it up with an oath of promise. He swore. He says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, meaning unshakable. 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 If they ever said, oh, Makeba, I don't know why I'm going to hell. This is, they told your mom or your dad or your loved one that, look, this is cancer. He has 3 months to live. That is not the end. We have an anchor for our soul. We have a word of promise and oath of confirmation. We can fall back on the covenant. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. When you go meet a door and it's shut, and they tell you, look, don't come back again. No, people like you cannot go through this door. We have an anchor for the soul. We have an anchor for the soul. That God gave the word of promise. He confirmed it by an oath. That means all of his throne is back of his words. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying this is the hope upon which believers' hearts should be anchored. Not what is in your bank account. No. Not their natural backgrounds. No. Are you with me? Not human wisdom. No. What did Paul say? He said, when I came to you, I was determined. Alema kosabaya. I was determined. That means you too will be determined not to know anything else except Christ and him crucified. Not to know anything else. Oh, you tell yourself, as I enter this industry, I'm determined. Madekopa, not to know anything else but Christ and him crucified. You know the implication of that. The oath of promise. I am determined. As I enter this city, I am determined. Concerning my health, I am determined. Not to know any other thing but Christ and him crucified. Concerning my finances, I'm determined. Not to know anything else but Christ and him crucified. This is what Philippians 3:3 is saying. We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. Oh, we are the circumcision. Oh, Rebeto Sapaya. We are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirits. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We boast in what Christ has done. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Listen, this end time revival is about Christ being revealed like this. Being revealed likoba, as God's sacrifice for sin, number one, and being revealed as the monarch who seeks expression in the hearts of men and in the systems of the world. This is revival. The glory of the Lord is not mysticism. No, it's not seeing cloud appearing. They see this cloud appear, the face looks like lion in the sky. You want to build your faith on vanities? The Bible says in this last day, he has spoken only to his son. If you are not hearing the son, you are not hearing God. Yes, sir. Are you with me? Because the lesser is included in the greater. He's included in the greater. Glory to God forevermore. He's included in the greater. Listen, decide to be schooled in the efficacy and the scope of this new covenant. Make a decision. But you'll be skilled. Listen, Satan's first approach in the Garden of Eden was to deceive. It has not changed. And you see, you can only deceive an ignorant man. Amen. You see, Satan's only advantage over the believer is ignorance. That's what the Bible teaches. He doesn't have any other advantage. He doesn't. No, he doesn't. 1,000 times no, he doesn't. That's his only advantage. So your decision to be schooled in the efficacy of this covenant, in the power, in the force of this new covenant, will set you above him anytime, any day. Glory to God. Paul was writing to Christians at Corinth. He says, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Okay. Lest he should take advantage of us. Lest he should have advantage of us. Something like that. Amen. Are you with me? That should be 2 Corinthians 2 or so. Let me quote it right so that you write, so that you can take note of it. Is somebody still with me? Glory, 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 glory to God. Are you blessed already? Blessed, blessed, blessed already. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just speak in tongues where you are. Speak in other tongues where you are. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Merofa mekotosishta. Hinda la propokososhoto. Mentosi brabokososhta pura bakataya. Aya makotosishta. Onde lekaposa. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:11, yes. So Satan's only advantage over the believer is ignorance. But see, ignorance in this respect is ignorance of this new covenant. And that is why I tell you, make a decision to be schooled in this thing. You see, even what you call the Pauline prayer, okay? Chief among which is Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, right? 17 down to 19, 20. He says, and the Father of our Lord Jesus, by the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He clarifies that knowledge of him. He's not saying the knowledge of the size of the robe that God is wearing in the courtroom in heaven. He's not saying the knowledge of the colors of the hoofs of the cherub. Amen. Hallelujah. Like somebody jokingly said, he said he just finished from Bible school. Ask me any question. And somebody asked, he said, tell me the names of all the 5,000 people that Jesus fed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, that is not relevant knowledge. Are you with me? Amazingly, he goes forward to explain the knowledge of God he wants us to have. He says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what does he want to do. What is the hope of his calling? You can give it to me in Amplify. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Hallelujah. Amplified Classic. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read the one I have here. It will bless you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Meko breba. He said to know and cherish the hope. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm just read the portion I took out. The one that says to know and cherish the hope. Verse 18. Explains the knowledge of God he wants to have. I'm going somewhere. He says to know and cherish the hope. The divine guarantee. The confident expectation to which he has called us. He's talking about the covenant and all of his blessings. That's what he wants you to know. You know, years ago, this got my attention. And then he gave me an idea of what the Lord wanted me to know. He says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Amplify is explaining it. To know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee. He wants you to know the divine guarantee. The confident expectation to which he has called us. He wants you to know how solid this thing is. Are you with me? That's why it's called the covenant. That's what he wants you to know. Colossians, the same thing. Colossians 1, you read 12. You start from verse 9. It tells us to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and not wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then verse 12 to 14 shows us the things he wants us to know. In context, what is the will of God he wants us to know? Hallelujah. Number one, he talks about who has translated us, who has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Look at what he wants you to know. You're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. That means a Christian is not a hustler. We are heirs of the promise. Is it about pastor? Somebody must hustle. No. Amen. Diligent hard work is different from hustling. Hustling puts the eye on the energy of the flesh. Are you with me? But diligence, according to scriptures, is you working out what you have received. Oh, did you get that? It's like inheriting a multi-billion dollar company from your father. Are you going to work or not? But did your work produce the multi-billion dollar company? No. So it's a work to maintain that which has been obtained. Yes, are you with me? We are not hustlers. We are princes. Oh, glory to God. We have he princes and she princes. That means we have an inheritance approach to life. You remember that, don't you? We have an inheritance approach to life. We are the seed of Abraham. Cain built a city. Abraham inherited a city. The Bible says Abraham looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't build it. God built it. Inheritance. Inheritance. We are not hustlers. I've told you, if you have not heard this gospel, you have not heard gospel. We are not hustlers. We are heirs of the promise. Oh, can I get an amen? We are heirs of the promise. Hallelujah. So look at the first thing he wants us to know. That we are fellow heirs with the saints. Okay? Put it up for me. Inheritance with the saints in light. Number two, that we have been translated. Delivered from the kingdom, from the domain of darkness. I mean, Colossians, now you are behind. We've been delivered from the domain of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. What is your location now? The kingdom of his dear son. You have been delivered. You don't need deliverance anymore. Amen. Are you with me? Colossians 1:14. 13 first, put it up. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? From the domain of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Of his agape son. Of his love son. You see, once you open your mind to this gospel, and the light and the fire of this gospel begins to burn in your heart, it changes everything. Oh, it changes everything. It changes your approach to life. It changes the way you see things. It changes your perspective. I've told you, there's only one lens through which you must see the world. It is called Christ. Are you with me? And this is what I'm giving to you. Everything changes. There's an awareness. There's a boldness it gives to you. Oh, you speak boldly, such that men of the flesh will think you are braggadocious. And they'll think you are bragging. But you are boasting in what Christ has done. Oh, yes, you are boasting. Oh, yes, you are. Melo fremekinako sapata. When we say not everybody is killable, it sounds boastful. But there's something we have seen. There's something we have seen. It's just an expression of our confidence in the covenant. Next week, I'll be teaching you on developing confidence in the covenant. The last week, I'll teach you on demonstrating confidence in the covenant. Are you with me? There's a way you speak. Paul says we speak with plainness of speech, right? We speak with plainness of speech. There's a way you speak. There's a way you speak. No. The things that were written concerning us, if they are true, then they should affect your steps. They should affect your confession. He says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart. Ah! Has shined in our heart? You mean the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness? What is he saying? That means in every darkness, light can come out. Light can come out. This is why he could give life to a dead body for 4 days. A body that has been dead for 4 days. And he calls us life-giving spirits. He calls us life-giving spirits. Ameko bredilekosa. It seems the guys in the old covenant demonstrated more confidence. You read about David, how he went after Goliath without the sword. He was a lad. Goliath had been a warrior from his boyhood days. But confidence in the covenant. He took him down. You read about the prophets. You read about the prophets. Just reading the scriptures. Reading the things that were even... In fact, where Elijah got his confidence from was the writing of Moses. It will shock you. When God said, if the people disobey me, I'll lock the heavens, there will not be rain. He took it. I say, Ahab, you are troubling Israel. I speak to you. By the name of the God before whom I stand, there shall not be rain in this land except at my word. At my word. At my word. And he shut the heavens. One man. He shut the heavens. Membro kopososhoto. He shut the heavens. That is confidence in the covenant. In fact, his was in the old covenant. And then the Bible says, when it was time and he defeated, he had to pray. That means it wasn't like God was there physically as, okay, do it. No, he had to pray. That means it was a walk of faith. It was a walk of faith. Are you with me? He took the prophet of Baal. Do you understand? Babalaos, charm men. And Christians are afraid of charm people. He took their prophets. That means these were priests upon the altars of Baal. He took them to Mount Carmel. He says, let's go and contest. If your God is God, let him show up. If my God is God, he will show up. Old covenant confidence. He was confident while he had shot their network. They cried, they called themselves, they cried, they wept, nothing happened. And the Bible says he repaired the altar. He fixed the stones. Hallelujah. And then he said, put the sacrifice, pour water. Meme nukabaya. We call it stretching the limits of the covenant. Hey! Stretching. Listen, how are you stretching this thing? You know, okay, by your strength, you can get 10 million. But you now say, we are going for 50 million. Let's test the limits of the covenant. Are you hearing me? Let's test the limits of this covenant. How far can we stretch it? This was what Elijah was doing. Oh, I'm preaching good this morning. This was what Elijah was doing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's a power upon the sacrifice. Because when God shows up, water is not important. The water cannot quench the fire of El Elyon. No, it can't. Testing the limits of the covenant. Even in your health, you start practicing it. It's not when you feel it, you say, where's Panadol? No, you test the limit. And then you grow in the supernatural life. Because God will have to train you in the divine life. Listen, the job of the preacher is not to show you your humanity. He said, oh, you know, we are all human. You know, we're all human. When a preacher talks like that, he doesn't understand the gospel. You're already aware of your humanity. The job, are you with me? The job of the preacher is to show you your divinity. And to challenge you to practice divinity. Beware of a preacher who talks, we're all human, you know, we all have weaknesses, you know. Don't buy into those things, oh. You already know. But why are we here? To show you your divinity. And to push you out of the boat to walk in the waters. Oh, glory to God. Are you with me? Elijah was testing the limits of the covenant. He said, pour water. And then he legebo dagiakata. When he prayed, literal fire came. Chop the water, chop the stone, lick the sacrifice. And I'm sure the prophets wanted to escape. Say, hey, you there. Hey, stay there. And only him slaughtered over 400 prophets of Baal. If I combine with the prophet of Asherah, the over 800. Slew them. Confidence in the covenant. How was he sure that God will show up? Confidence in the covenant. He knew when he began to pray, he knew if I can pray, God will show up. If I can pray, are you that confident? If I can pray, they'll come and tell you, say, there's no room for this. It's 3 days prayer and fasting. I'll come back. Confidence in the covenant. You know, if you bend your knees, heaven will hear you. Give me time. What did Daniel say? Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Give me time. I'll be back, both with your dream and the interpretation. Brethren, let's not joke in this generation. No. These were Old Testament people. The Bible says we have a new covenant established upon better promises. What are we doing with it? You can't use your life to do Facebook and Instagram. Prove the limit of the covenant. You tell yourself, my life will be a walk in the covenant. A walk of glory. A walk of the supernatural. I will test the limits of these things. I will stretch it. Memedukaya. Membropotosa. Oh, glory! Oh, glory! 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 Listen, don't live like earthlings. Are you with me? Don't live like earthlings. No, don't live like earthlings. There's a global destiny on your life. Don't use your time to watch BB Ninja. I was somewhere in a shop yesterday. I saw people talking, one music. I said, oh, this is what they call Big Brother Ninja. And you are watching it. They are chopping your money. You are watching this. Are you with me? Testing the limits of the covenant. Oh, testing. I'm not happy that I'm out of time. Testing the limits of the covenant. Testing the limits of the covenant. Is he praying for rain? You know, when you read in the Old Testament, you think he just said there shall not be rain and he went to sleep. No. The Bible says he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. That means it was an act of faith. He prayed earnestly. A translation says he prayed prayer.
he prayed earnestly. Membeto kapaya. He prayed earnestly. And when it was time for rain to come forth, he prayed again. He prayed again. And we're told how he prayed. He went to Mount Carmel. He put his head in between his knees. Listen, that means prayer is an expression of confidence in the covenant. It's an expression. It's an expression of confidence in the covenant. God calls you to politics. And then you are saying, okay, am I? No, 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 no. Test the limits of the covenant. Step out. Oh, step out. Use the kingdom power systems that you know. I preached a message 2 years ago, kingdom power systems. Go and listen. And everybody here in the marketplace, go and listen to it. So you don't feel helpless. We have people go out when someone comes to threaten them. We had one of our friends, he comes to church. I mean, some of you know who I'm talking about. He was vying for a post. A strong occultic group came and met him. He says, don't contest. If you contest, you will die. He has not put in on the head I was putting in because he's a Christian. He said, watch me put in and watch me leave. And that was what happened. But see, if you are not taught, you will shake. You will shake. You will shake. On a certain day, a head of a cult in this town sent a message to me. He said, you are interfering with my activities. That was just a message. I replied him. I said, go and tell him he is a dead man. He is dead. For sending me a message, he is dead. He is dead. They never came back. That's 4 years now. I said, go and tell him he sent to me, he is dead. Tell him I have cut off his life. Are you with me? You can't talk like that when there's no confidence in the covenant. Confidence in someone threatens you, you will punish them. Both physically, you will roar. You say, come here. Come here. The way you roar physically, the anointing will be said. Never shake. One of the things I threatened, I hate it. With the Holy Ghost, you threaten me with the Holy Ghost. You will be used as a scapegoat. Confidence in the covenant. Rise to your feet. Speak in tongues where you are. This is our life. If we're going to represent, our destiny is to represent our King in every sphere. These are the rules of engagement. The world will get more wicked, but it cannot stop the potency of this covenant. It can't. It can't. We lift you high, oh Yahweh, Yahweh. We lift you high, Yahweh. Akasa shata. Oh, speak in tongues where you are.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.